broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Yes, it's the Phil Hendry Show here. There's El Pacifico right behind me here. If you're watching on Phil TV and HD, what a night, man. We had on Don Berman arguing with his boss, Sal Boicelli, or whatever the hell his name is.
No, it's Bo Boicelli.
Well, he gave me a bunch of crap because...
No, you said Boicelli.
I know, I said Boicelli. I was joking.
Yeah, no, it's Boicelli.
Boicelli.
No.
Get up to the microphone, bud.
All right, no. It's Boicelli.
What are you all of a sudden, speaking Italian?
No, man, you got to do it right. Boicelli.
Boicelli.
No. You go...
Get out of here, will you? His name's Boicelli, as far as I'm concerned. So then we had Don, and we had some other whack situation there with Dr. Jim Sadler talking to... didn't we have Dr. Sadler checked in, didn't he? Oh, he was talking to Larry Grover, yeah.
Yeah, he's talking to Larry Grover because Larry Grover's got... He says that Larry Grover and his mom are doing it.
No, well, he didn't say that. He said there was some kind of a seductive mother thing going on there.
What's that?
Some psychological bullcrap I don't want to get into right now. So, and all Larry wanted to do was talk about Rick Perry and how Rick Perry in Larry's mind is a lying sack. Because this cat was, Perry was on that debate saying that he's given money to... See, I personally understand the thinking. The thinking is as follows. Because these kids have been in this country for so many years, they are virtually Americans. And we have to do something to enhance, if you will, their ability to make it in this society. Because they've sort of been in a twilight world a little bit, you know. Now, that's the thinking. Now, is it the right kind of thinking? I don't know. I'm not, I personally agree with that.
Yeah, but you do agree with that. So you'd be a liberal. You'd be like a liberal.
No, that don't make me a liberal, man. Understand something, bud. I've been trying to get you guys off this kick for a long time. You and Robert. Don't hear one opinion about something and say the guy's a only idiots do that. You understand? Only imbeciles do that. Only imbeciles say, oh, this guy's opinion is that and that. That means he's a liberal. I have that opinion. Rick Perry is or was the love of the Tea Party, man. Oh, my God, that guy was the savior. Now, all of a sudden, he's laying tuition money on immigrants, and they think the guy is the Antichrist. I mean, what happened? I thought you guys were geniuses. Oh, yeah.
I did think it was big time.
Oh, sure. Rick Perry, he was the man. He was going to be next president of the United States. Now his poll numbers, as far as I've been told, he's going through the floor. Now you trying to tell me that was a big... And Grover coming on here and saying it was a big surprise. Yeah, sure.
Well, how's he supposed to know?
How's he supposed to know? Is that a serious question? If you're following a candidate, Jack, you say that you support that candidate, and you even go so far as to say the guy is a Tea Party guy, brother, you better know what that guy stands for. I'm telling you, some of these people, don't ever take them that serious, folks, because you can see how stupid they are. I don't mean stupid. I shouldn't say that. But you can see how confused. Then the guy calls, somebody called tonight, what about Ron Paul? Will you get off Ron Paul, if you'll pardon the expression? Get off Ron Paul, I mean that in a figurative sense.
Yeah, you don't mean like they're riding him.
I'm going to smack you in a minute. Ron Paul is never going to be elected president of the United States. If you want to keep on touting the guy, go ahead. It's fun. Poor Ron Paul. When he said what he said about Osama bin Laden in that one debate I watched, he said that, if Al-Qaeda said the reason why they killed us and butchered up our people is because we're there on their land. In other words, when a psychopath tells you, here's why I kill, generally you don't believe them. That's just a little bit of advice there. Representative Paul. Ron Paul is a very brilliant man when it comes to certain things. I think he breaks down economics. I think he's a traditionalist, if you want, a strict constructionist. There's all kinds of marvelous terms you can put on any individual at any given time. And people kind of get off on being called, oh, I'm a strict constructionist, constitutionalist, douchebaggerist. You know, that's what I am.
Douchebaggerist.
Or I'm a pacifist, liberal, progressive. This, what do you think? This is a religion or something, huh? Next thing you know, these guys are gonna be walking around wearing beanies or something.
Yeah, probably go a beard long or something like that. Yeah, with the curly cues.
Don't be anti-Semitic. But that's the way they treat this stuff. Now, Ron Paul and the people that support him, now I really think it's just a big joke. I think Ron Paul's candidacy has gone from very, very serious in 2008. Now it's sort of an absurd anarchist's joke. You know, he's not going to be elected president. Everybody knows it, including Ron Paul. But the reason why he's in the race is to put forward his ideas. And he has enough name recognition, and he certainly has enough money whereby he can make a serious presentation of himself. And he say, hey, here I am. I'm Ron Paul. I'm running for president again. And here are my ideas. Now, such as they are. But the people that support him are these ideologically addicted people that sort of live in the bubble of that ideology, and they don't bust out of it to see how it affects the greater world. I'm not knocking Ron Paul. I'm sure that, you know, I believe the taxes ought to be slashed down to the bone when the time is right for that stuff. Man, I'm totally with that, you know. I don't know about that thing he said to me one time. He was on the show once. I said, how would you deal with those pirates?
Yeah, what he said about the pirates, something about a warrant?
Yeah, I said, how would you deal with those Somalia pirates? He said, well, there's something in the Constitution called a warrant, meaning that we could put a bounty out on them. As the United States could put a bounty out on these pirates, meaning we could pay another entity to go get him, to go and save that crew, if we wanted to. We didn't have to, but if we wanted to. We could, you know, contract with another government, contract with another military, contract with another security entity of some kind, and pay them, and they would go out. It's called some kind of a warrant. It's in the Constitution. And Ron Paul, being a strict constitutionalist, that was his thing, right? Now, I'm thinking of this, and I'm thinking, what lives are at stake. The clock is ticking. You've got these wild, harebrained cats that are ready to blow the brains out of somebody, and you're going to do what? You're going to start shopping for bounty hunters? Of course, I guess if you've got a, you know...
Yeah, I mean, if you've done it before, you probably got... Just pick the phone up, you know who to call.
Well, I mean, that's one way of doing it. And that means basically you pare back your military. So how much military do you need if you're doing stuff like that? I mean, the point is, you'd never sell that to the American people in a billion zillion years. Never. It may be a good idea. It might be the Constitution in the very strictest sense of the Constitution. But as you know and as I know, the Constitution is interpreted in relation to the society that we live in at any given time. This should be obvious to anybody who knows anything about the damn Constitution, right? You know,
what do you mean?
I mean, at one time it was cool to separate black people and white people according to the Constitution. Now, all of a sudden, it isn't. How do you like that? So,
as far as I'm concerned, you got to keep on doing it. Shut up.
Hey, I told you guys, man, you're always doing it.
I didn't do nothing.
You started that.
Talk about separating people on a railroad train? What do you mean railroad train, man? I don't talk about that.
Shut up. So, Ron Paul he's flipped out, man. You know, he ain't flipped out. He's okay, but he ain't going to get elected president. It's not a snowball's chance now. Who does that leave?
Talk about Michelle Bachmann. Yeah, Michelle Bachmann. I don't think people like looking at her, man. She's like a piece of ass or something like that, you know.
Watch your language, will you? Michelle Bachmann. Oh, God. And in any event, so she's the next one. Some people seem to think that, well, Michelle Bachmann, she hasn't got enough brains going. I mean, she's a smart person, but in terms of the practical application of her philosophy of life and politics and country, practically applying it to the country in general. This is why you often hear people pitching a whole lot of horse dung during a campaign. And then when they get to be president and they sit down and they see what the business of the country is all about, they very quickly change their tune, folks. Now, why do you think they do that? Because they weren't president. They didn't know what the job was. They're talking a whole bunch of smack, blah, 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 blah. Then they sit down, they get into the job, they take a look at it, they go, holy geez, we said this about Obama. I'll say this about anybody you want to talk about, man. They're going to get in and become president of the United States. Michelle Bachmann, all that crap that she's spewing, man, if she does one-tenth of that, if she were to become president of the United States, I'd be shocked. She's not going to be president. Nobody think. The problem with her is there's a perception of her that she's nuts.
Yeah, because of that magazine.
No, not because of the magazine. No, not because.
Well, but if you saw that magazine cover, man, they made her look like she's goofy as a March hare.
The magazine might have made her look that way, but I thought about her as being nuts long before that magazine came out, and so did a lot of other people. She's cracked. And there's trouble in River City, man, with her. Who's that leave? Rick Santorum? When I heard the answer that he gave to that gay soldier, that long, tortured, asinine social engineering is what this guy... You know, Santorum, you're a real disappointment, man. I used to hear you talk, and occasionally you made some sense. You're an idiot. You're just flat stupid, man. I don't like using that word, but brother, you are. And I don't know about this booing the gay soldier. I don't know if they booed the soldier or they booed the question.
They booed the soldier.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Well, if they booed that soldier, that's a disgrace. That tells you a lot right there. But again, this is just the conservative side of the ball, man. We go over to the liberal side, and there's a whole nightmare going on over there. That's Solyndra? Oh, my God.
About that.
That is the end of the Obama administration. I hate to break the news. I'm sure other people more versed in the topic have already said this, but I'm speaking as a guy that voted for him. And I'm not even blaming the president. What I'm saying, and this is the reality, that, the buck stops here, like Harry Truman said, man. All of that garbage comes right back smack dab onto the president's desk. The vice president of the United States was standing there giving a speech when they opened this thing up. There's evidence that they were trying to rush this loan through, all kinds of stuff. I'm sure there was nothing illegal. It was simply politically expedient. They really believed this was the way to go, man. They hung their name tag on this thing. They tattooed this thing on their ass, this Solyndra. Now the thing is belly up, and these guys are taking the fifth. This is bad, man. Obama's not going to get reelected president of the United States. It isn't going to happen. There's only one thing that could keep it from happening.
What?
The Republicans butcher this process to the point where they stick some nut in there, like Michelle Bachmann. Or I don't think it'll happen. I think right now, and I'm loath to predict it because I was so wrong about Giuliani, but I didn't see I didn't read the political landscape very well. This thing seems wide open for Romney, if you want my opinion. I mean, if you want to put a candidate in there that can get elected, if you want to put a guy in there that knows how to present himself, I mean, look at it. They've tried to tar and feather Romney a lot of different ways. He's a Mormon. That must mean he's a racist. Healthcare that he did in Massachusetts. Well, you're going to find out, because Romney will become the candidate for the party. You're going to find out it isn't so much that people don't like public health care. They don't like how much it costs. They don't like how much it costs. People aren't against it. They're just against the price.
Well, you're going to say that Romney's going to be nominated. You could be wrong, just like Giuliani, too.
Yeah.
Giuliani. Yeah, I was wrong about Giuliani. You're right. I ain't going to be wrong about Romney, because they got nobody left, man. There ain't nobody. There's no Obama story on the Republican side of the football. There's just none. Michelle Bachmann ain't it. I got big news for you. Sarah Palin ain't it. Give it up about Palin. She ain't. Even the Republicans don't want her around. Perry, he ain't got it, man. I thought this guy was tough. He ain't tough. He folded like a cheap freaking... Excuse me for saying this. I was going to say Chinese suitcase. Like a cheap suit.
What about Chinese suitcase, man? That's racist.
It ain't racist.
Cheap Chinese suitcase is.
Maybe the suitcase is racist. All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The NBA has postponed training camp, scrapped some preseason games. There could be a strike. Oh, no, not that. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh! Texas stopped serving a special last meal to death row inmates just to really stick it in. California councilman names dog Muhammad draws criticism. He named his dog Muhammad. Perry and Romney come out swinging in the GOP debate. We'll give you the background on that, but I already basically gave you the whole nine yards. And we'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more. I think we have David Hall coming up, too.
Yeah, get talking, David Hall.
Well, he's coming. He's going to rip into me for something. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And coming up tonight at 7 will be our KFI show for KFI in Los Angeles. But you can still follow along here on Phil TV and HD. If you have a backstage pass on our website, you can watch our streaming video of the show. And by the way, when you're on our website, go over to our merchandise store and pick up some Phil Hendry crap. We've got hats, we've got T-shirts, we've got shot glasses, we got coffee mugs, we've got our legacy CDs. These are our best of CDs from 1997 through 2005. Now, David G. Hall is joining us online here from Pasadena tonight. We're going to talk a little bit with him. I wanted to also get real clear politics, bud. Have you got that?
Rear.
Yeah.
Not rear, real. I misspoke. David.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, let me tell you what's up. We got a little bit of a problem last night you had on this Wheeler. And by the way, I just saw that mouse. Have you got that mouse on your webpage?
Yeah, the real mouse.
Yeah. Is that the one or?
No, that's just a picture. Are you kidding? Let me explain, okay?
Well, now hold on for a minute because I don't like doing this on the air, as you know, but I have no choice when Bud puts me on and he says that you want to talk about this.
I would rather not do it on the air either. Every time I hear from you, we're on the air.
Well, I'm sorry, Phil. I'd rather do it off the air, but last night you had on your program a man that had apparently some kind of a menagerie of animals. Is this true?
We had on Dean Wheeler. The man is the...
That's the gentleman with the holistic center.
Yes. And he was in a pet store of some kind, or a pet shop. You could hear mice in the background.
Yeah.
And he said that they communicate. That was his belief.
All I know is I got a call from some listeners, more than one listener this morning. They said that you had on a black gentleman called the show, Pastor William Rennick, correct?
Yes.
And that the mice used some... hate speech.
Well, David, they're mice. What do you think?
I don't believe it, but what I'm being told is that this guy Wheeler believed it and said to Pastor Rennick that the mice were race baiting.
Look, yeah, maybe.
Well, what did one of these mice, not the mouse, I guess they didn't say the N-word, right?
Who?
I'm asking you, did one of these mice say something?
Are you kidding me or something, man? That must have been who, bud?
That's Mr. Wheeler, Mr. Hall. He goes, the mouse said Jungle Bunny.
Jungle Bunny? On my radio show.
Your radio show? It's my radio show.
Well, and what these mice are what? What are they? Are they trained to say this stuff?
There's no mouse on earth that's trained to say this stuff. I think Wheeler was hearing it or thinking it. I think the guy's mental. I don't think it was...
All right, so in other words, this guy Wheeler, under the guise of being a yoga instructor, is a virulent racist. Is that it?
That's pretty much what we came to the conclusion on, yeah. That he thought it was funny.
So this guy that's a yoga instructor and who teaches old ladies how to float in salt water, whatever the hell these guys do, I don't know what they do. When he goes home at night, he's burning crosses. Is that it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess. Because this dude is talking about how he's got these mice, and oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. And
who's that?
This is Wheeler. He's talking to Pastor Rennick. He says, oh, I'm so sorry. Because you can hear the mice chirping, right?
Yeah, they was chirping in the background and everything like they're going like that.
And anyway, he says to the Pastor Rennick, he says, oh, I'm so sorry. And
what did he say that for?
Well, he said that the mouse said the N-word.
Mouse said the N-word.
Yeah, he said these two mice are talking to each other, and as soon as Pastor Rennick got on the line, they started getting all agitated and tearing up newspaper, you know?
Yeah, so the mice was like, and another thing that mice said was that Pastor Rennick, it's something they drop out of their butt and they got to take to a dung field.
A dung field? What the hell are you guys talking about?
Well, he said that the mice were saying that about him.
Yeah, he said the mice were saying that he fell out of a mouse butt.
Yeah.
Fell out of a mouse's butt.
Why don't you guys get serious, okay?
I'm telling you the truth. This is what happened. If you got calls from people, then and they're telling you anything different, this is what happened.
Well, I got calls from people saying that there were two mice in a cage race baiting.
Did you believe that?
No, I didn't believe it. I just called up to find out what's going on.
Well, that was that's what was going on, okay?
Well, hang up on him?
That's exactly what I did. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Race baiting.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Well, here's the here is the response that Rick Perry gave to Mitt Romney, and it makes total sense to me. But then I'm not a Tea Party conservative when it comes to this particular issue. I will also say that neither is Rick Perry, and I think that for anybody to anybody in a debate, you know, it was a Republican, it's a GOP debate. All right. If you're going to boo Rick Perry, you're booing the Tea Party boy. So that just shows me there's a ton of confusion, and they better get their act together because Obama's right. He's ripe for the falling, but he ain't just going to fall over. You can't just walk in there. There's no way that you're just going to waltz right in there and take the White House away from the Democrats. Ain't going to happen. Okay? They're very formidable when it comes to their ability to get the vote out and to organize. They were as good at it in 2008 as the Republicans were in 2004. So here was the moment. Romney sought to capitalize on the concern among many conservatives about Mr. Perry's position on illegal immigration, harshly criticizing the Texas policy that allows illegal immigrants to qualify for in-state tuition rates at public colleges and universities. That just doesn't make sense to me, Mr. Romney said, noting that illegal immigrants get as much as $22,000 a year in tuition breaks that out-of-state citizens do not get. Out-of-state citizens. Now, offering an impassioned defense of that policy, Mr. Perry apparently, you know, got up, he stood up there at the plate and took his cuts, and receiving boos from a segment of the audience, Mr. Perry did not back down, saying, and listen to this, this isn't a Tea Party quote. This is something that comes right out of the moderate Republican Party, if not a Democrat. He said, if you say that we should not educate children that have come into our state for no other reason than they've been brought here by no fault of their own, I don't think you have a heart. Whoa! Yeah, man, look at that. That's a quote. I don't think you have a heart. All of a sudden, I'm a Rick Perry fan, and guess what? He ain't going to get elected president. Or maybe he will. Maybe he will. The Republicans are not going to like him. So he may not make it through the primary process, but he might. We'll see how much sway these Tea Party people have got. I got to be honest with you. If Perry burns his bridges with them and they begin to get a little bit more of a sense of Rick Perry as a governor, even though, like I said, the guy comes off a little squirrely, who are they going to go to? They going to back Romney? Are they going to go for Ron Paul? Are they going to go to a third party like Trump? And what is that going to do? It's going to kill the Republicans, and Obama gets a second term. We'll find out. The debate held at the Orange County Convention Center in Orange County, Florida, and sponsored by Fox News, Google, and the Republican Party of Florida, featured robust audience participation and questions submitted via YouTube. The 5,000 people there responded loudly at times, including boos during a question from a gay soldier about the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell regarding gay and lesbian service members. And that's when Rick Santorum basically, in my opinion, showed what a moron he is. And not only a moron, but a pandering moron. So I know if you're talking about social engineering, what is wrong with you, man? Why can you not see that issue in light of the civil rights struggle that took place in this country in the 50s and 60s? You don't see it as the same thing, huh? It's social engineering. Well, goodbye, Santorum. And while Fox News moderators sought to engage all of the candidates, the exchanges between Romney and Perry standing side by side overshadowed the others. Of course they did, because that's the one that everybody wants to see. Those are the two guys that everyone... And, you know, now I'm taking back a little bit of what I said.
Yeah, you probably think that Rick Perry's going to wind up... You're going to look good a lot of people.
He may. He may. I think a lot of people had Rick Perry pegged as a Tea Party guy. And for people that don't like Tea Party people, they're insensitive. They're all about the money. They're not about anything else. They don't care about anything else. They don't care about civil liberties. That's not an area of interest. I see it a little bit more in a more broad-minded way. I think that the Tea Party was founded basically to address economic problems. It's not that they don't care about social issues. They don't engage in a serious discussion. That's not their thing. That's not what their party's about. As far as those things are concerned, it's an individual basis type of deal. But, unfortunately, as you can see in the answer that Perry gave, those things are, the economics and the social welfare, all of that stuff goes together. You can't ignore it. So when a guy says, if you're saying that kids that have come to this country should not be educated, then... Now, they get a tuition break that out-of-state people don't get. The question that I don't think was answered, at least in that story, was the break that they get because they are in-state, is it a break that in-state Texans get who are citizens? Is it the same break? In other words, is it something that Romney's capitalizing on, saying, wow, look at this, they get a discount, and American citizens... don't. Well, what American citizens are you talking about? One's from out of state. Well, the American citizens that live in state, they do. Nobody brought that up, if that in fact is the case. Now, on to the NBA. You care about this stuff, you guys?
I like the NBA.
Yeah, me too.
I don't. I do. I just, not this time of year, man, I can't get into the NBA in freaking October. Anyway, the NBA's collective bargaining divide with its players has brought an eraser to the scheduled opening of training camp and preseason games through October the 15th, the league announced on Friday morning. Training camp has been delayed indefinitely, according to a news release distributed by the league, and 43 preseason games between October the 9th and the 15th have been scrapped. According to NBA Deputy Commissioner Adam Silver, we have regretfully reached the point on the calendar where we are not able to open training camps on time and need to cancel the first week of preseason games. We will make further decisions as warranted. Commissioner David Stern and union leaders met on Thursday in New York. They remain divided on how to resolve a situation that the league says leaves 23 of 30 teams losing money. The players have conceded that they'll take a 4% cut from the 2010-2011 salary, but the league wants to cap the overall salary for the league at $2 billion for coming seasons after paying $2.15 billion last season. The sides are expected to meet again next week. They've accepted a 4% cut, but that doesn't get it down to the $2 billion that the league wants to put it at.
Well, that sounded to me like at least the players have given a little bit.
Yeah, they gave a little bit.
What are you laughing at?
I, you're right. I mean, that's what negotiation is all about, you know. The league says it wants $2 billion. The players gave back 4% out of a $2.15 billion. They'll reach a happy medium. But the bottom line is, if 23 out of 30 teams are losing money, in any other business, after a while, I don't know, you know, what the time frame is for the NBA or any other entertainment business, and that's what this is. It is an entertainment product, and as an entertainment product, it's at the furthest edge of what is needed primarily in a society. First thing is food. The second thing is shelter. You know, the third thing is a relative safety and the ability to work and make more food and like that. And then we get further and further and further out from the essential. And where are we? We're at talk radio and NBA. And that, let me tell you something, that's like the outer ring, which means most unnecessary. We're probably further out than the NBA. There's no question.
What? You think talk radio is less necessary than NBA?
Yeah, in the minds of a lot of people. I think if you polled the American people, well, maybe not. I don't know. It would depend on the talk radio. But if you polled the American people and said, what would you rather give up, the NBA or talk radio, it might be split down the middle. But neither one is essential to anything. Now, I love basketball, football, baseball. I love it. It's a marvelous diversion. They're losing money because obviously their business model is starting to fail them a little bit. They're paying the players too much, or the owners are keeping too much money. I don't know what the story is here. Maybe they're not making as much from merchandise as they thought they would. Maybe they need to reorganize how they divvy up that merchandise money. I don't know what kind of deal the NBA has in terms of merchandise. Does each team keep its own merchandise money? Do they split it up equally among all the clubs like they do in the NFL? Or they did in the NFL. I don't know whether they do that anymore. The NFL cuts that TV money up.
Why don't they have TV money in the NBA?
Because it's different. It's different.
Why?
Because they play too many games. And they play on weeknights. These are nights when a network may not want to broadcast all the games. So they out of necessity, they cut local deals with local cable companies, local television packages, or regional television packages. It's got nothing to do with the national money that they would get. Like the NFL has one game a week on Sunday. The NFL, if you look at the NFL in terms of how it just so happens that sport is... telegenically, it's a attractive sport. It is contained in the screen. You can see everything that's happening on the football field that is essential to see on the football field in that television picture. That's not true in baseball. That's not even true in hockey or basketball. Football plays once a week on a Sunday when everybody's got the day off, when there's nothing on TV. So naturally, the networks, hey, here's something we can show on Sunday that's going to make us some money. So yeah, they love that. The only problem with football is that it's an expensive sport to put to actually, it's an expensive entertainment product to put on the stage. It costs a lot of money to just equip a football team and all of the other things that go along with that. Not that they pay the salaries, not that they're paying such big salaries, but... if you get right down to it, that's what we need more of, and we need less ball game, every freaking day a ball game.
Yeah, but you're going to cut down the NBA, and people, what are you talking about?
I'm saying that one of the reasons why football is so huge is they're not ODing us on football. We're not overdosing on this stuff. It's not every freaking day of my life. Football is so effective at the way it does things that's the Super Bowl is now a bigger event than the World Series. It's the biggest sporting event on the calendar, and as such, it's the biggest television event on the calendar. And people that don't even like football go to Super Bowl parties. People that don't even like football know what the Super Bowl is. And the reason why it has gotten popular is because of what I just told you. One day a week, 16 lousy games out of the year, then the playoffs, then it's goodbye, thank you very much, get lost. That's it, man. And let's go back to our lives. Oh, wow, it's football season again. 16 games, playoffs, Super Bowl, goodbye. It's not like every damn day of my life, one half of the year, I'm taking up watching football.
Yeah, but I mean, I like watching basketball.
You like basketball. Bud likes basketball. Not everybody likes basketball. Nobody likes basketball to the tune that they like football. No one likes baseball or hockey to the way they like football. Football is, as I said, it's got all of those elements that make it a winning proposition when it comes to making money. The only thing that'll kill football... are the things that will kill any business that is doing well, and that is you're having labor management problems, you are not smart with the money that you're making, you're not investing enough in the product, there's too much going out and not enough coming in. That's just bad management. Well, we'll see. We'll see. But football is, like I said, man, that's the model. Okay, we're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our last segment here of the last show of the week, unless you join us tonight for our KFI show here on Phil TV in HD. A mother banned from school grounds after confronting her son's bullies on the bus, and she beat the crap out of them. No, she didn't.
Wish she would have, though.
We'll be back with that story and more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots
Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome. Keep that music up, baby, till Phil starts talking, and then you can play. There you go. A mother who confronted two boys who bullied her 10-year-old son has been banned from the school's Minneapolis, her son's Minneapolis school, and even her son's bus stop. Wow. Tanya Sidney said she does not regret taking actions into her own hand to keep her son from being a victim. How you guys, do you believe this?
What?
Do you believe this lady's version of it?
I don't know, man.
That's right, we don't. We've got CBS Radio here from Minneapolis telling us that Savanti Griffin, well, this is a little boy, he told his mother and his stepdad he was being bullied and hit on the school bus, so she took matters into her own hands. She went to the bus stop the next day and confronted the bus driver. He told me, I'm doing the best I can. I can't be in 50 million places at once. That's a bad answer, Mr. Bus Driver. That's a stupid answer, as a matter of fact. That's not what you say. You say, yes, this is serious, and I'm going to, with your consent, get help from the school, and if need be, from the police. That's what you say there. She then got on, well, this is what she says the bus driver said, you know. And people say, well, why wouldn't you take this woman's word for it? Well, why should I? Look at folks. I know enough about parents and kids. I know that there are many, many times the kids are bullied. I understand that. And many, many times some parents are just really weird. See, I got to get the facts, baby. I'm not going to go off half-cocked because I don't know what the facts are. So once this bus driver said what she said he said, she got on the bus and yelled at the two boys that Griffin said were the bullies. Specifically, to the two boys, I said, you need to keep your hands to yourselves. The driver ordered her off the bus. She and Griffin then walked to Lake Nokomis Community School. Sydney said that when she and Griffin got to school, they were met by the school's police liaison officer, the principal, and a transportation supervisor. The supervisor pulled out a photograph of another African-American woman who he said he created a disturbance on a school bus last year. That's when the transportation guy apologized and said, I assumed you were the woman from last year. Her son and the two bullies later had to apologize to each other. Sydney got a letter from the principal saying she's banned from school grounds and the bus stop for the rest of the year. It's mind-boggling. She's now filed an appeal. Blah, 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 blah. All right.
Well, what do you think?
What's to think, man? I don't know what's going on with that story. How is any human being supposed to draw a conclusion? She's shown a picture, and you're the woman from last year. No, you're not, but still, you're banned. And I don't even know what this woman said was true. If these kids were bullying her kid, you know.
Well, why would the kids make it up?
I don't know. You know, kids tell stories, man. It won't be the first time that a kid tells a story. I'm not saying the kid's lying. But how do I know the kids were bullying this kid? Maybe they just got into a fight. Maybe it was just some hassle that the kids had with each other over something. They come back. He tells his mom. She, of course, is thinking, oh, my poor baby. She gets onto the bus. She starts screaming at some kid. Gets to the school. The school's saying, what the hell are you doing on a bus? You sound like a maniac. Oh, wait a minute. You're not that woman from last year, but still, you're still a maniac. You're banned from the school. Meanwhile, she doesn't get it. She doesn't understand. She's not listening to anybody. She's only listening to her kid. She doesn't, you know, realize there's a world that's much bigger and broader and badder out there than her and her kid. And so now she's going to appeal, and she goes to the newspaper, you know.
Yeah, well, that's probably what she did.
Well, why say that?
How else did the news get it?
Exactly. How else did they get it? What, do you think CBS has got a reporter that's just hot on the Lake Nokomis Community School beat? They got a reporter hanging around. Wow, what's the news today from Lake Nokomis?
Oh, so you think she called them up?
Hell yeah. Either that, her, or a friend of hers or something. Retiree fined for a 24-foot cross on her front lawn. Apparently, she was told to take this one down. This is in the San Fernando Valley here in Los Angeles. She could face thousands of dollars in zoning fines for erecting a 24-high-foot cross on her property. The L.A. building and safety inspectors visited her home on Lake, the home of Laylee Dobner on Thursday after receiving complaints from neighbors and determined she had violated zoning laws by erecting an unpermitted structure. She has two options, building and safety spokesman Dave Lara told the newspaper. Option A is that she takes it down. Option B is that she tries to get a permit. This is a public safety issue. Well, the issue is it's a 24-foot high cross, and if she put up a smaller one, you know.
Yeah, what do you mean a smaller one? They wouldn't want anyone like that.
Phil Hendry Show. I don't know. All right, the Phil Hendry Show is produced by me and by Fred Scotty and Dan Northcraft and Chris Johnson. And don't forget, tonight we have the KFI Show. Visit us at KFI at philhendryshow.com, and we'll see you guys tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.